Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. I am Jim Galante, along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. And Dustin, I tell you what we're going to do in quarter two and quarter three. James Franklin may not have asked us for our help.
Which is on him. That's his problem. That's his fault.
Exactly right. And who knows? He may be listening. We've had some clues that he occasionally listens to our show. But we are going to offer up some help to James Franklin and the rest of his coaching staff. What we are going to do, we are going to fix Penn State's offense in quarter number two. Quarter number three, we are going to fix the defense for them. So, Dustin, I know you've got broad shoulders. You could handle this. I'm going to put it on you. So let's start by fixing the offense. Let's turn this into a playoff contending team. Any discussion of the Penn State offense going into 2022 or 2021 or probably any season, you have to start at the quarterback position. Now, I know you and I have both been huge fans of Sean Clifford going back to his high school days, but I don't think there's any doubt he was very much a disappointment in the 2020 season. It leads you to the question, is he the right guy for this team going into the 2021 season? Is he a quarterback that can help you compete? Forget a national championship. Forget the playoffs. How about even competing for a Big Ten championship and a chance to compete with Ohio State? Is he that guy?
Well, to me, I mean, I think the difference between being that guy and being just a replacement level starter is the ability to elevate guys around you. Does Sean Clifford need a bunch of high-end talent around him in order to succeed? Or can he make the guys around him better? Have we seen enough over 2 years to believe that Sean Clifford is elevating his teammates? I don't believe so. You know, you look at the second half of last season, which fuels some kind of optimism anyway, that Sean Clifford can get back on the trajectory that we all thought he was on. But even in the second half of last year, when he played better, everything was simplified and risks were managed to really near zero. They did not put him in a position to make bad decisions and poor plays. So I think there's some hope, I suppose, but he needs a big time supporting cast around him in order to make that jump. He's got two more years of eligibility left. I think we talked about this, you know, off air. Is James Franklin really staying loyal to Sean Clifford until the bloody end, one way or another? And is that going to prove to be a foolish decision? Now, in 2021, and even looking forward, it's part of the whole, you know, trouble with the position right now, is that there's not much of a choice to be made now. Will Levis is in Kentucky. Taquan Roberson does not look to be any threat whatsoever to the starting job. Christian Vaiu has been on campus for 5 minutes. So they're in a difficult spot in terms of answering that big question about, do you have a title contending quarterback? And the other question of, do you have enough quarterbacks? I think there's a better than not chance that the answer is no to both of those questions.
I agree. First off, I've been saying it. You're now down to three scholarship quarterbacks, where the debate prior to Will Levis leaving was, could you bring in a quarterback that could compete for that starting job right away? I think now there's a sense of, you need to bring a quarterback in just for a little bit of depth and have a quarterback that's ready to compete with Roberson if something happens to Sean Clifford or for when he chooses to move on. But let me ask you this about Sean Clifford, though, because it just seems so bizarre, Dusty. 2 years ago, his season, his 2019 season, we saw enough there that we thought, wow, we like what we see, and we think there's a lot more to come. He hasn't come close to his ceiling yet. Then we have the 2020 season, and he went backwards, didn't he? How does this happen? And it's not as if he was making he wasn't physically capable. It's just there were blunders galore, like mental lapses on his part, which I didn't think we would see. So does that mean, are those things more fixable than other things, Dustin?
Well, the fixability of those blunders, and they were some bad ones early in the year, how fixable they are, to me, just boils down to experience to a certain point. So if you're in your first 3 or 4 starts of your career and you're making those types of mistakes and you're not seeing the defender who's directly in the path of the ball, if you're, you know, making a foolish sort of off balance throw where you see 4 opposing jerseys there, those are all troublesome mistakes that you hope they can work through if it's early in their starting tenure. The difficulty last year was that it was not early in Sean Clifford's starting tenure. He had 10 or 11 starts under his belt when he's doing those things. He settled in a little bit. You could tell that they had shifted their perspective. They did not play very good teams. If we're calling a spade over that 4-game winning streak, they did not play very good teams either. They leaned on the run game. The offensive line started playing better. You know, Jahan Dotson and Parker Washington emerged even further in the second half of last season. So there were some things that happened that helped him, but it was really hard to watch those blunders and mistakes and physical and mental errors and come away believing that this is the answer at the position. I don't think that it's unfair to have serious doubts when that was year 2 as a starting quarterback and not year 1. He had experience. He had the opportunities to grow. And I think that's the nature of the questions about him. And is the arrival of Mike Yurcich going to transform that overnight? Sean Clifford is wired pretty tight. He runs pretty hot. He gets excited. He gets a little ahead of himself. The key for him and for Penn State's offense is being able to harness that and fix that particular thing. In my eyes, to be able to come out and be composed and be smart and be relaxed from the first snap of the game. And that has been a pretty constant issue through 2 years. I think there's some positive momentum on that front where they had him take a deep breath and say, listen, Sean, you are not the only player in this offense. You have to trust the guys around you. These guys are going to make plays for you. If that quarterback from the second half of last year can roll over into 2021 and combine that with a better offense for him and start to be able to make more plays down the field, then you might have something here. But there's still some pretty big ifs in this situation.
You mentioned a new offensive coordinator, Mike Yurcich, and James Franklin was very plain in his talk about why he was brought in. The offense needs to have big plays and fewer turnovers, and he brought Mike Yurcich in for that. To me, it's fascinating that in that 4-game winning streak, they got conservative. They didn't throw the ball deep, and that's when they were winning. How do you make sense of that, Dustin? And is James Franklin going to turn the keys over to Mike Yurcich and let him run the offense?
I think the commitment that was made this offseason to fire Kirk Ciarrocca and make this move to a guy who's a proven play caller moves James Franklin in that direction. Now, you know, it's his program. It's his system. He has that's the thing that is constant as you move forward with different assistant coaches and you hire, you fire, all that stuff. His vision is constant for the offense. So there's still going to be some of that, but I think he made the commitment with hiring Mike Yurcich to be a little bit more deferring to his vision in some of these situations. So I think you'll see some of that. And I think you can't really be in a position where Penn State can make the leap from a consistent top 10 or 12 team to a top 5, top 4, top 2 team while still having big questions about your offense. That's from a, you know, putting points on the board right now perspective. That's from a program building perspective too. If there are major questions about your offense's ability to move the ball and create big plays and be exciting and get the attention of recruits, you're not going to make this really difficult jump. It's the final jump that Penn State needs to make. I don't think you can make that without a proven, exciting, big-time college football offense. I don't know that you can make that jump, which is where Mike Yurcich comes in. There were clearly doubts that Kirk Ciarrocca could be that particular guy. So now you get somebody who you probably wanted in the first place that can position you for that jump. And I think, again, it goes to being a better offense in 2021. It also goes to being a more appealing place for offensive players to be moving beyond 2021.
Let's look at a couple of the other positions, Dustin. At receiver, both wide receiver and tight end. It appears wide receiver, at least at the top of the depth chart, you've got some players that you feel confident in that you could count on. At tight end, it looks like you have a couple weapons there. How do you think this will play out with a new offensive coordinator? Will there be heavier use of those tight ends since we have depth there?
And that could go one of two directions. I mean, that could be two tight end sets where you give the look of, you know, run heavy, but these guys can go make plays for you. It gives you a lot of options, I think, as a play caller. When you have players like Brenton Strange and Theo Johnson in particular, who are as athletic as they are, but who are also willing and able to block. And I think that gives you a lot of different looks. I mean, the whole thing is about deceiving opposing defenses. And I think having tight ends who are very much multifaceted athletes helps you do that. I do think, you know, in order to you need a little bit more depth from a playmaking perspective at the wide receiver spots. There are still a lot of questions after those top two. And the question is, I think, not Parker Washington and Jahan Dotson. What if one of those guys gets hurt? What if one of them can't play? Then who else do you have there? There are still some things that you got to work through. There are a lot of options, and I think there's more optimism now with Taylor Stubblefield than ever that those options are going to develop, but they didn't have much depth to them. The hope, and I think, is that Keandre Lambert-Smith, you know, took his lumps as a freshman, wasn't ready for that, but was thrown into those duties and can be a better player as a result. Got a lot of options there, but I think they do need a little bit more depth to emerge at wide receiver.
Let's real quickly look at the offensive line. You have your bookends, you have your tackles back with Wallace and Walker. It's the interior of the offensive line. What are you doing there, Dusty?
You got things changing and moving around. Obviously, Michael Mennett being gone and Will Fries being gone. But you have Mike Miranda. You've got Juice Scruggs, who they went out of their way to get experience last season. You have some other options as well. You need one guy who hasn't been in the lineup much to emerge next year. But I think we've seen enough to feel optimistic that that option is on the roster right now and that Phil Troutwine can get the best of it.
All right, Dustin, that's our look at fixing the offense. In quarter number three, we are going to take a look at the defense and how, well, I'm going to name you, Dustin, defensive coordinator. I'm going to find out what you're going to do to make the defense click next season. So stick around for that. It won't be long before we get back outside for those cookouts and tailgates. And the best way to get ready is at thetailgateclub.com. We feature your favorites from 409 Tailgate with their peachy paws barbecue sauce and famous Bloody Mary mix. We also have great condiments you won't find at the grocery store, like bacon ketchup and hot banana mustard. How about salsas like raspberry chipotle and roasted red chili and honey? Head over to thetailgateclub.com. That's thetailgateclub.com for all these amazing products and more.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.